You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Diabetes raises its ugly head again, and we hear about it time after time, but that's because the problem is growing and growing. And this May, there was a new generation insulin summit. It was held by Novo Nordisk in Cape Town. On the line with me now, Dr. Audrey Cock, specialist physician with a keen interest in diabetes. And Audrey, thank you so much for joining us.
That's a pleasure, Sam.
How big is the problem? I feel like every time I ask this, it grows and grows. And we chat about diabetes at least once a year.
I think it's a persistent problem. And every time you look at the numbers, it just gets worse. You know, it tends to be associated with this obesity epidemic that we see. And many patients are still, unfortunately, undiagnosed.
Now, I've got statistics here from the International Diabetes Federation that apparently one in every adults worldwide has diabetes, and up to 2.2 million adults in South Africa. I mean, those are unbelievable numbers.
And I think also the problem is that, especially in type 2 diabetes, there's sort of a period of what they call pre-diabetes. It's actually not a very good term, where you're at risk of developing diabetes. And many of those patients or people living with what's called insulin resistance actually could do something to prevent the diabetes if they just knew to look for the risk.
And this, and I mean, what percentage of diabetes cases are type 2? Because I believe it's quite high.
It's the majority, at least about, I'd say, 80%. Type 1 diabetes has been fairly static. You know, that's the one where your body's pancreas just doesn't make any insulin. And that around the world has been about the same. But the type 2, I think because of the, it's really just a global epidemic of obesity that goes with it. And that seems to be the major risk factor. But there's also a family history that come into play.
So when we look at diabetes, I mean, the generally accepted wisdom is to eat carefully and to look after yourself. But sometimes it gets to a point where that's no longer enough.
Yes. And I think this is where this new insulin, it's really innovative and makes a very, very big difference because of how the patient or the person living with diabetes can treat themselves. You know, many patients, when you look, we usually treat them with tablets first, but many also do need insulin because to treat your body's glucose levels, your sugar levels when you're eating, the insulin helps our bodies to use the glucose for energy. Now, in diabetes, what happens, your insulin is not produced enough, or it's completely deficient, or your body is resistant to the insulin that you are making. So there comes a point where you may need insulin as part of your treatment. So what they've done, this is a new type of insulin where they've combined a very long-acting insulin with a short-acting in one pen. And why that is completely innovative is that they've never been able to do this effectively. So this new insulin, it's going to be called Ryzodec, gives us each of those insulin acting independently, but it's produced in one pen, and you use the pen then to inject the insulin on a daily basis.
How widely available is this going to be?
I think initially it will be mainly in the private sector in South Africa. It's already been launched overseas, but I do believe that there would be major attempts to try and get this into the public sector as well from the company.
And going forward, as you said, it's probably going to start in the private sector. How do people manage their insulin on a day-to-day basis if they're new to the if they're new to using it?
I think the most important thing is that we need to make sure that doctors understand how the insulin works, not just this new insulin, but the older insulins as well. And then, you know, just to make sure that the patient gets to a target level that prevents complications. I think there's still a sort of an inertia to control people adequately. And one of the reasons why insulins and new treatments are being developed is because we know that many, many patients are still, even people who are diagnosed, are inadequately treated. So the idea would be that there's a blood level that we do call an HbA1c level. And for most people, we want a level below 7%. I still find diabetics who don't have an idea what an HbA1c level is. And that is really like treating your blood pressure. You measure your blood pressure, you know your numbers. This is one of those numbers, like your cholesterol level, that you should know if you suffer from diabetes.
Dr. Cock, thank you very much. I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. Dr. Audrey Cock there, specialist physician with a keen interest in diabetes, telling us about the problem and new treatments that will soon be available.